Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. And Jim, we previewed it yesterday, and actually it came true. There is a compromise deal between the Obama administration and congressional Republicans. Whether congressional Democrats will allow it to go forward, we'll talk about in a moment. But President Obama on Tuesday night, right during the news hour, no coincidence there, coming on and basically saying there is a deal to make sure that folks' tax rates don't go up at the end of the year.
For the next 2 years, every American family will keep their tax cuts. Not just the Bush tax cuts, but those that have been put in place over the last couple of years that are helping parents and students and other folks manage their bills.
And that does mean all of them. Dividend capital gains tax rates will stay where they are. The estate tax does come back, but not nearly as fiercely as it would have if this deal hadn't been in place. In exchange, the president gets Republican commitment that there will only be a two-year extension, not a permanent placement of the tax breaks for the wealthiest Americans. And, of course, he gets 13 months of unemployment insurance extension. So the president spent half of his time almost apologizing for this deal, the other half saying that it's more important to get things done than to play political games. Who are the big winners here, and how do you like the deal?
I think this is a pretty darn good deal, and I'll get to the folks who are objecting in a second. But I think one of the things that's fascinating is, really, for the past decade, the Democrats have defined themselves as the opposition to the Bush tax cuts. And it's interesting, you saw some people referring to this as the President Obama ratifying the dominant domestic policy act of the Bush administration. And in that context, I think you can understand just how psychologically devastating this is for Democrats to see themselves say they've had 2 years, they had enormous majorities in the House and Senate. They had probably the most progressive liberal Democrat we're going to see in our lifetimes, and they couldn't repeal a tax cut. And the enormity of that is, I think, going to have deep, rooted reverberations for the next 2 years. And really good news for Republicans, we had to have this exact same fight in 2 years. I don't think this doesn't strike me as a flaw. This is a it's not a bug, it's a feature, as the computer programmers say. It's, I want to have this argument all over again in 2 years. Now, I heard last night Hugh Hewitt, amongst others, was saying, Republicans botched this. They dropped the ball. They should have held out more. They just won huge wins in November. Why didn't they hold out longer? And I guess it comes down to what your top priority is. I think a conservative Republican, their top priority should have been avoid any tax increase. I suppose there are some Republicans who think that if taxes had gone up in January 1st, then after those first paychecks in the new year come in and the take-home pay is significantly smaller, the perception is that Republicans would have a stronger bargaining position if everyone's paychecks were smaller in the new year. That might have been the case. That might not have been the case. I think there definitely would have been a lot of free-floating voter anger out there. I'm not sure whose side it would have been projected at. But what's more, it would have been instability, and the market wouldn't have liked it. And I'm just not – I just think that if you want a stable market and good economic growth, you want to avoid those tax hikes. You don't want to see them go into effect and then get repealed a month later, 2 months later, 3 months later, or worst case scenario, this endless stalemate in which the tax hikes remain in effect. By the way, I notice Obama keeps referring to it as keeping the tax cuts. No. These are the normal tax rates. What he wanted to enact was the Obama tax hikes, which will obviously not be happening in his first term and at this rate, his only term.
I was certain that you would want the bad martini to be the Monday Night Football game, but
That was the one I was praying at the porcelain altar over that martini.
Anyway, on to the bad martini now, and this really is bad. If anyone watched Ben Bernanke, the Fed chairman, on 60 Minutes on Sunday, you've obviously seen this. But when talking about whether these tax cuts will have an immediate impact, what size of impact they might have on the economy, a little bit of cold water coming from Ben Bernanke.
At the rate we're going, it could be 4 or 5 years before we are back to a more normal unemployment rate. Somewhere in the vicinity of, say, 5 or 6%.
And he went on to say even worse than that is that a lot of the folks who are unemployed right now have been unemployed for more than 6 months, and that is historically huge. So he's not very optimistic, which is why we're seeing the Fed do all this tinkering. But whether you're Republicans saying that these tax cuts are going to do a great job or Obama obviously wanting a better economy going into 2012, that's not the most rosy forecast.
It is. And, we talked a bit about Bernanke yesterday, but this quote kind of seemed to be largely overlooked, and that's one that's absolutely terrible news for Obama's reelection prospects. I'm of the mindset that if it's above 8%, I think it's pretty much the Republicans could nominate a ham sandwich, and we'll be watching the inauguration of President Ham Sandwich on January 20th, 2013. But I think beyond that, though, just that's a, you know, I don't know whether he's overcompensating for previous optimism by being excessively pessimistic now, or if we really are going to go heading into, you know, we've endured 2 to 3 years of really rough economic sledding, and now he's talking 4 or 5 more. You know, at some point, all of a sudden, we see, well, we're not in the Great Depression. We're not in the Great Depression. Look, 8 years of high unemployment, and all of a sudden, it's not – those comparisons don't seem so wildly inaccurate. At the very least, we seem in the ballpark of Japan's lost decade. So I'm hoping Bernanke is just trying to scare people straight and you know, get people's minds focused on this. But if this really is what he thinks – we're going to remember the Obama era and the year preceding it, and perhaps the year or two, you know, following it, as one of the toughest economic times in hopefully our lifetimes, Greg, and hopefully we'll live for a very long time.
Yeah, exactly. And you see, you know, a lot of these economic experts saying that early next year we might see additional hiring, we might see better wages, but we also were supposed to see that just a few days ago with the November jobs report and certainly didn't get that. So
remember those, the talk of green shoots in early 2009?
Oh, yeah.
Remember those? Were they a bunch of weeds or something?
Yeah, at this point they are. We'll see if certainty provided by these tax cuts is going to add anything to this economy. Well, we certainly hope they do. But on to the third martini now. And as we alluded to a moment ago, the president and congressional Democrats not getting along the best these days. In fact, you have some liberal bloggers now believing that Obama suffers from what is known by experts as power hubris syndrome. And I'm quoting now, "It's a disorder of power and high office, particularly when power is associated with success and when minimal restraints are placed on the leader. Symptoms of hubris syndrome may be familiar to anyone who has observed the nastier side of politics over the years." Well, ego and politics, I never thought those two would ever collide, Jim. And we should point out that since the liberals are the ones that came up with this, they think George W. Bush is the only one in presidential history who has had the full-blown case of this. But now, given Obama's quote-unquote caving into Republicans, they fear that their hero, the one they thought would solve all the world's problems, is now suffering from it as well.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see, you know, folks at Fire Dog Lake, this very liberal blog, agreeing with a cover story and you know, memorable cover image over on that other conservative magazine, the Weekly Standard, depicting Obama as the American narcissist. What I think is kind of interesting is you think back to the legend of narcissists, the sin in the story or the lesson of the story wasn't just that narcissist was obsessed with himself and fell in love with his own image. It was that he fell in love with that image and didn't realize that it was himself. The lesson or the moral of the story of narcissists is the importance of knowing who you are and knowing who you aren't. That way you can't be quite so taken with yourself and so constantly impressed with yourself. Obama has no grasp, or at least it seems very little grasp, of his own shortcomings. And this is why you keep seeing him walking into these international negotiations and convinced that his charm offensive will work and it doesn't really turn out. On the site today, I run down all the lists of promises, mostly to the left side of the aisle, that Obama made during the campaign trail and that are not coming to fruition. And there's, you know, closing Guantanamo, there's getting the troops out of Iraq, there's rendition, there's card check, cap and trade. You just go down the list over and over, issue after issue. I think deep down, Obama didn't know the job of the president, and he didn't realize that he wasn't ready for the job and he didn't have the right skill set and mindset for this job. So here he is, 2 years into his presidency, where John Podoritz of Commentary was trying to grasp why Obama made so many concessions, and he thinks he may have followed the what the hell strategy, that he has no more cards to play. He's losing all of his allies and Democrats, so he might as well sign on to the conservative position and hope for the best. And if the economy turns around, he thinks this will help him in 2012. We're in really uncharted territory, both in terms of this presidency and in terms of probably Obama's psychology, in that he's never been in a circumstance in which he has failed on such a grand scale. And it'll be fascinating to watch what happens to a narcissist when they fail to live up to the image they've been admiring in the mirror for year after year.
Jim, we'll have to call time there, but as always, a lot of fun, and we'll talk again on Wednesday.
Looking forward to it, Greg. See ya.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.